I trust today that, you know, I believe that each and every one of us have a cup. And there's nothing better than when our cup runneth over. And last night, we were in a revival service there in Pampico last night. And I was so glad I was there. The pastor there invited us, Brother Roy Torn, invited us to come. And on this occasion, he said, "Brother, your wife sings." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Would you have her come to the revival and sing for us?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, do you sing?" I said, "Well, no." He said, "Well, you can come if you like, or you can stay home." Most of the time, I'm the one, the reason we're going. And last night, she got all the props and the attention. Brother Wayne and Owens preached a message from God last night. It was a good message. Many a tear was shed upon an altar last night about a melody that should resound in our hearts about what God has done for us. And I trust today that you love God. And like he said last night, he said there was a young boy who was on the front row, had just been recently saved, and they were singing a song. And the hymnist was one song after the other. They were just doing a lot of singing. The little boy looked up at the older man that was beside him, and as the song went through, he said, "Are you saved?" And the man said, "Yes, sir." The next song went through, and he said, "Sir, are you sure you saved?" He said, "Yes, sir." Third song come along, he said, "Sir, are you sure you saved?" And the guy said, "Well, yes, I am." He said, "Do you think that Jesus could notify your faith and let you know that you've been saved?" And you know, to have the love of God in our heart, boy, listen, we've been notified today that we've been loved. And I want you with me right now to pray for the presence of our God, that He would bring the fire of the Holy Spirit and place it in the midst of our soul. And if you would this morning, join with me as we bow our souls in His presence. God, today I am nothing more than just a man. But Lord, I know that the truth is that You saved me out of the miry clay and You put my feet upon a rock. Lord, You had to reach a long ways to get to me, but God, You thought it necessary to do so. And God, I thank You today for saving my soul and to know that one day that You're going to take me by the hand and You're going to lead me through a land that, God, You sent Your Son to die for, that in order we would be able to be with You for eternity. God, I know today, Lord, there are many people in this congregation, men and women, boys and girls alike. And Lord, You know every need that rests in our souls. And Lord, I ask You today, O God, in a mighty way, O Lord, that You would just send the Holy Spirit. God, that each and every heart, Lord, would feel the presence of You today. Lord, the convicting and the compelling power to be like Your Son, Jesus. And Lord, I ask You today, above all things be said and done today, that You would receive all the honor and the glory. And Lord, today they would not see a preacher boy, but they would see You, God. And Lord, I ask You now to use this old vessel of clay to speak through me. Anoint my lips this morning, O God, that the word would be preached just like You would have it to be preached. Because, God, You know who's here today, and You know what needs to be said and done in order for You to receive the honor and the glory that You so much deserve. And Father, I ask You now, Lord, that You fill me with Your Spirit. Lord, that Thy will be done. First, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of our sermon today is "A King Who Loved a Dead Dog." A king who loved a dead dog. I don't ask you today, are you glad that you've been chosen by a king? Man, glory, that you've been chosen You know, I'm a San Francisco 49ers fan. And you want to know what compelled me to become a fan of theirs? It was number 16, Joe Montana. Come out of Notre Dame. And what he did there on that field, and what he stood for, just really made me a follower of their team. I'm a fan. And I know he's not there anymore, but I still pull for that team. And you know, Joe Montana, to me, was a very fortunate individual to be selected in a draft, to be chosen by an NFL team to come and play for them. Man, what an honor that was. That all of his life, all that he gave and did, he was chosen in one of the toppest levels of play. He was chosen. But for us to be able to sit here together today and know that we have been chosen by a king who handpicked each and every one of us. See, when John 3:16 reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." He gave his Son for us. Listen, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That means that when his Son embraced the world, which is all of mankind, he chose each and every one of us. He laid his life down for yours. And did it for none other than our sin. But I see in this story today, and this story is one of the greatest stories that I have read of salvation. To know that we have been set free. But look at this story with me this morning in 2 Samuel chapter 9. Look at verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul?" Now you know that Saul was the first king. At this time, Saul is dead. He was already removed of his position of king because of his sin. And David is his replacement. But look on with me. "That I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake." And there was of the house of Ziba. And when they had called... I skipped the part. What were y'all thinking? Go back with me in verse 2. Let's do this right. If we're going to do it, we need to do it right. Amen. All right. Take notes, preacher. "And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house. Oh, now, I would like to say Max, her, here. But I cannot do that. Then the proper name here, the best I know how to pronounce, you critics out there, is Makar. The son of Amiel in Lodibar, the king David sent and fetched out the house of Makar, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now listen to this. All week long I've been wanting to give him a nickname. But this is Mephibosheth, okay? I've been wanting to call him Phoebo. But I want to be careful in Revelations that I don't add to the Word of God. Because the plagues of this world will be added unto your life, the Bible says in Revelation. And if you take anything away from the Word of God, then you're in danger of your name being taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. So let us stay with Mephibosheth instead of Phoebo. Mephibosheth it is. The son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David. He fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, I will surely show thee the kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. and I will restore all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Mephibosheth titles himself as a dead dog because he's lame. And you know, it's wondered here in commentary and study, but he was lame. His feet, he could not use them to walk. Probably having to crawl like a dog wherever he went, and probably with assistance. But he says that I'm a dead dog. Look at verse 9. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruit, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord thy king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. I love this story. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth, the more you say it, the worse it gets, dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Now I want to share with you this wonderful story this morning. You know, we have a God who created us all. We know that this morning. But in this story, David, a king, you need to understand today that Saul and all of his family. Now, Saul and Jonathan have already been killed. And you have here Mephibosheth, that is Jonathan's son. But if you look earlier in the book of Samuel, you see where he was dropped. He fell, and when he did, he was then lame. It messed his feet up, and he was not able to walk. And we know that all that he did after Saul and Jonathan's death, he was hid in Lodibar. Now, he was hid there in fear that David the king would seek after him and kill him because he was still of the dynasty of Saul's kingship. That was only natural. Anyone who was a threat to the kingdom's owner, the heir of the kingdom, should be eliminated, be killed. And it was just like a lot of the time you see these barbaric stories, and even through the Bible you see where women and children died because of the sin of men. But you have to understand that God, in all of His knowledge, knows that if you leave someone, even young, with that sin and bitterness in their mouth, they will grow up with that bitterness and that sin and then seek out revenge because of what has been done to their family. So we see here where he is being hid in Lodibar. That is something you need to know about Lodibar this morning. It sounds like a really good chocolate candy bar to me. But it is a desolate place, and the word means no pasture. Lodibar is a place that means no pasture. Now, we're fixing to make a parallel here and put all this together. But we see here where now David wants him, and the Bible very clearly tells us that he falls down at his feet with his face already down. He's already down, okay, because he can't stand upon his feet. But he's brought in lame in his face toward the ground. In reverence, the Bible says. because he felt like probably right here and now he was about to be executed by the king. But David does not pass judgment on him. Now, he not only lets him go, but he restores in him all that belonged to Saul. And he made him a place at his table forever. And if you read through Psalms, you'll see where David the psalmist makes many references toward feet and not being able to stand. And we have to believe today, because of the life that he shared with Mephibosheth, it had an influence on the king. Now, what does all that mean? Ziba was a servant. You may very well be a Ziba today. The servant, after King David called out, he said, "Is there anyone still left in the family, in the lineages of Saul, Jonathan? Either or, in this family, is there anyone left that I can show my kindness, my mercy unto?" Ziba did not have to make a petition for Mephibosheth, but he did. And because of that, he was saved. Now, how does that apply to us today? If we as servants of God do not make a prayer or a petition unto the king, they may never be found. They may still remain in Lodibar. And maybe today you live in Lodibar. But may I submit to you today that there's another place other than Lodibar. And the very king that the Bible talks about here in 2 Samuel 9, in his kindness and in his mercy, he refers to another place in Psalms 23. You all know it, but will you allow me to read it to you this morning? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." How you like that? Hey, boy, I lived in Lodibar. I don't like Lodibar. Lodibar has no pasture, no place for me to graze. And oh, how I love to graze. Oh, how I love to be in the presence of God and not be desolate, separated from His kingship and all that He has to offer. And old friend, listen to me today. If you're in Lodibar, listen, there's a better place. You can be led of the Lord by near these green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Whose name was King David showing kindness in? It was for the sake of Jonathan. He said, "May I show someone else kindness for the sake of Jonathan?" And listen what God has done today. He has showed every one of us kindness in His Son's name. Ephesians chapter 1 says, listen, it's because of the Beloved, because of the One who died for us, that God, in all of His sovereignty, steps out and says, "In my Son's name, I can show you mercy and kindness. And you don't have to remain in Lodibar, but you can come out of Lodibar and be led into green pasture." But I love how the Word says you must be led. You cannot get there on your own. Don't you love these GPS? Man, I like these GPS. I borrowed one the other day. You can believe it's on the top of my Christmas list. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm looking forward to it. But what do they call that thing? I don't even know what GPS stands for. Is that right? Well, you know, I think it should stand for what, Miss Leslie? Is it God's positioning sensor? System? God's positioning system? I can't speak today. I might just spit the rest of the service. But to be positioned where God would have you to be, there is no sweeter place to be in the pastures that God wants to lead you by. But I can't leave this without leaving you with this, that God loves you because of nothing you've ever done. As good a people as you may be, you are not good enough to get to heaven. And just like Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, every one of us has shared these lame, crippling effects of life. And I deserve nothing more than to go to hell, because I am of a sinful nature. But I am so grateful today that God said, whom can I show my kindness, my love to, because of Jesus' sake. And because of Him today, I can go home. I don't have to die a second death, but I can go home. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. Chosen by a king today, church. You have been chosen. But look back with me now. When Mephibosheth was there, crippled. He was crippled because of what had happened to him. Actually, at the age of 5, the Bible tells me. And I want to share with you today a story that was given to me this past week. It's amazing how God puts all this together in a sermon. But if you're going to listen to me right now. A man comes to me this past week, and I was there on the job working, and he comes to me, and he said, "Mac, you preach, don't you?" I said, "If that's what you want to call it, I give it a shot. I try my best." He said, "I want you to explain something." Now, I'm going to tell you, when I hear that at the beginning of a story, I start praying. Because, God, I don't know what's fit to come out of their mouth. And, God, I just want you to be in control of what comes out of mine. But he said, "I've got a boy. He's 8 years old. And he's autistic. And he said, "I don't know how to handle it." He just goes right along with his morning. His son is lame. He has a defect. And he said, "My next door neighbor he said, but the other small children run from my son. They don't play with him. And they treat him as an outcast. He said, I've raised children, and this is my faith. He said, but my boy has such wonderful qualities. He's very loving. He smiles all the time. He said, but when I get home in the evening, he said, I have to explain to that 8-year-old boy of mine why people run from his presence. He said, Mackie runs back in the house, crying, brokenhearted, wondering why the other kids won't play with him. He said, in just this past Saturday, listen to this. He said, they were having a big birthday party. They went all out. They had everything planned and ready, and the floats and everything else ready for the party. He said, my little boy put his nose against the window and could see it. And he said, Daddy, why can't I be over there where all the fun is at? And he said, oh, they don't want to play. And the only thing I could tell him was, because God had put this on my heart last Sunday night, I said, when you see that boy, when you get home, you will tell him he's already been chosen. And one day, glory be to God, that little boy who do not know anything will stand in paradise with God. And he's going to be given that glorified body that never gets sick. And does not prevent him and make him lame and crippled. But I'm going to tell you today on a serious side, you are just like that autistic boy if you have sin in your life. You are crippled. You are lame. And it's because you're living in a place with no power. And you do not have what it takes to stand in the presence of God. You will be showed love and kindness, and it will be because you receive Jesus into your heart. And I want to know today, do you know the King loves you? Do you know that God loves that little autistic boy just as much as he loves you? And you know that little boy is going to have to suffer. You know that? May God have mercy upon anyone who ever makes fun at a handicapped child. I pray that God does not show you his wrath. Because you can get a laugh or kick out of it. You better believe somebody's watching you. I would suggest you find your kick to laugh somewhere else. Because you don't tickle God's people. I want to ask you this today in closing. Do you know, as a sinner, by the Word of God, you're living in a place that will never provide for you? But do you know, as Christians today, as sheep, we go astray. And there are times that have been in my Christian life that I walk out of the green pasture that God has led me to. And I find myself in a lot of discomfort, wondering where God is. But what I've done is I've walked out of those green pastures beside those still waters. And little did I know that I was over in Loaded Bar and had gone astray. That happens to God's children as well. We go astray. We live with this sin in our lives. And only He can lead you back. So I want to ask you today, how many times did God show you His mercy? When you deserved His wrath, He gave you mercy. See, you know, if God keeps those other children real healthy and provides them with healthy children, you know what God did to them in spite of what they did to that little boy? He showed them mercy. So I would tell you today, you think that's bad? But when you sin against God, against His Son, we are no different than those people across the pit keeping Him out. No different. And today my heart breaks because there have been times that I've stood on one side of the pit and would not let Jesus come over. But He stands at the door and knocks, the Bible says. And all you got to do is swing it over. The altar call is going to be like this. Anybody in here who needs His mercy today, come to see me. Right here. Right now. Will you come? Right now. What's on your roof? Right now. God, I need Your mercy today. It may be that you've gone astray. It may be that you've got something in your life that's separating you. Will you come and pray today? Asking God to give you mercy. Friend, more than anything in this world, I want you to leave that desolate place in your life and find out just how sweet it is to dwell with the Lord. You know, you've heard the expression, the grass is greener on the other side. I'll tell you today it is, friend. When you leave the pasture you're in and walk into God, it is great. Will you pray with me this morning? God, you know each and every heart here today. Oh, God, thank you so much for your mercy. God, thank you so much for not giving me what I deserve. But because of Jesus, I can live I can live. And God, today I just want to say thank you. Thank you for loving me. God, thank you for your mercy that you said endureth forever. And God, today as we are gathered around your altar and those praying there in their pews, Lord, may you receive the honor and the glory. And may the name of Jesus be magnified today in this service. It is because of him that we are treated with your love. God, may your will be done today in each and every soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I always want to share something with you. I believe there's sometimes that when I see God at work, I can cut a backward flip. It would probably be my last flip, but I would do it with everything I've got. I love God. I love His church. And I want to offer something to you. And you remember this from now on. If you're ever here and you're visiting, a lot of time I stand at that door. If you ever need me, you take me by the hand and I'll go with you. If you ever need me to go pray with you or talk with you, don't you think about being rude. You can't be rude handling God's business. If you ever need me, church, you grab me by the hand. And we have plenty of gentlemen that can stand there and greet you, and they'll fall right in. I know they will. So if God's ever burdened your heart, you don't ever leave a service like this but on your heart, because you know what's going to happen. By the time you walk out the doors, those convictions begin to leave you. You start feeling all a little bit better. But what happened was you remained in Lodibar and were not willing to be led to the green pastures of God. Today is an exciting day. Just as we leave, we have two that are taking membership. Man, I'm as happy as a tornado in a trailer park. Praise God. This is wonderful. Amen. And I'm going to ask Mr. Arby and Miss Carol Powell, if you will, just come stand here at the front, if you will. Amen.